Hello and welcome to another Woodshop Podcast with Mike Coffee of Coffee Custom Builds, Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks, and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find us all, as well as the podcast, on Instagram and YouTube.
Welcome to episode 158 of Another Woodshop Podcast, the unwavering beacon of consistency and reliability, committed to a lifetime of podcasting, no matter the personal or financial cost. If there is one thing we are known for, it is commitment and changing our minds. But more on that later. What's going on, boys?
Wow. That's great, Pete. I actually thought about just saying it right here. That's good. You shouldn't have said more on that later. You should have. That was pretty good. But yeah, more on that later.
Speaking of more on that, I don't know what that means.
So not nice. Not good.
Speaking of more on that, thanks to our patrons.
No, big thank you. Big thank you to our patrons. You guys are amazing. Thanks.
Terrible.
Thanks. No, don't. No, you guys
terrible
are great.
Play
big
on
thank
words.
You to our patrons. Our current patron VIP list is as follows, and I'm not, you know, killing time to hit the buttons so it comes up. No, big thanks to Alex Copajohns, Bill Burkle, Daniel Bryson, Justin with Calvary Customs, Christian Tung, Malcolm at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Matthew Hoff, Matt Maynard, Max and Mindy Coons, Michael Flickinger, Mike Lydon, Phil Plant. Is that a new person?
Ooh, yes.
No, that's not. Oh. It says from February, but that's a newish name. Phil Plant. Square Splinter, Steve, Aya Darola. That's everyone. That's a big list of VIPs.
And you guys help us do this.
I think we may have forgot to say thank you to Phil Plant. So a big thank you to Phil Plant, I guess.
Thank you, Phil.
That is a new name. That is a new name. I'm on Mike's side there. That's a new name.
Well, sometimes if they change their, like, what their handle was, because sometimes it's an email.
Oh, right.
And it gets changed. So maybe we've been reading an email or a handle. And,
you're right.
But if we didn't, Phil, welcome. And we're sorry. And also, thank you for supporting us, guys.
We're sorry and thank you.
It's been for...
Thank you.
They've been a VIP member for since February, so we wouldn't have missed it. It's definitely what Pete says. That makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, thank you and we're sorry, which is exactly what I said on prom night.
Isn't Phil Plant the lead singer of Led Zeppelin?
Yep, Phil Plant.
That is who's following us.
Was amazing.
He had some money to burn, and you know what? Let me support this up-and-coming podcast.
He had to get some dollars burned for write-off reasons.
We're a tax
shelter.
He invests
heavily in podcast Patreons.
Yeah. We're a tax shelter for band.
A shelter for many ex-rock stars.
You can buy art, or Daniel you can Bryson. Pay our patron, Ninj.
And Justin with Calvary Customs. No,
value's just going up.
I mean, there's so much money you should be sheltering in the AWP Patreon page. That's where the real tax savings are. Mm-hmm. The AWP Patreon page. Anyway, I don't know what else we should do, but probably hit this button right here, right, Dan?
Everyone can eat shit!
That's not the one. It scrolled down. This one right here.
What's on my bench?
There it is.
I think we should change it to that other one.
My nuts. Change to my nutsack. That'd be a good one.
Oh, Mike, you want to kick us off? I don't know. It's your world. I just live in it.
Well, let's start right off the top. As Pete said, this podcast is a bastion of tax sheltering and consistency and never giving up.
Yeah.
And with that, this is my last episode on the podcast.
He's not giving up.
Otherwise, I'll cry. No, this is my last episode on the podcast. Sadly, very sadly. In fact, the podcast is going to. Well, I mean, Dan and Pete will talk more about it for sure. That it's their thing now. This is AWP is continuing on, but that's their thing to share.
One can say craft will never die. This craft will never die.
That'd be good. You should edit that in for him, Dan. At the intro.
We'll randomly
yelling craft will never die. Yeah, that'll for sure happen. No, I want to say big thanks to Dan and Pete. We did this thing for 3 years. They're going to keep going with
over
it, but I did this with them for over 3 years, and this has been an agonizing decision to make, but for me, it's time. I'm just having a hard time finding any time. So the decision has been coming for a while, unfortunately. I don't think I was recognizing it But I think I did in the last few weeks. So it was just something.
You've been busy, man. So. You've been like, you come into these things burned out, and I've felt so bad. And you're going to be
I come in like with a million things going, and weekdays are just really hard, and I don't really have weekdays. I don't get...
You don't have a weekday. You work every day.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm taking Sundays off and stuff, but like the weekdays, it's just like nonstop. I mean, I don't want to make... It doesn't matter. The point is that I'm not going to be on the show, and it's been a really great thing to be a part of, and I'm going to try not to be emotional here because I don't want to be in front of all of you, but it has been a long time, and... This is an important chapter in my life, and doing this with Dan and Pete is a big deal because we know how important this is to a lot of people, and we also know how important it is to us, and changing that formula is scary and hard and not something that I want to be the cause of, but unfortunately, I do have to be the cause of that because I just have to make this decision. So... I understand the implications of that decision, and that's why it's been so hard to make. So, as far as the future of that, Dan and Pete have the answers to that. I don't have the answers to that. So they are going to answer that probably a little bit here, and probably I would imagine they're going to go very in depth on that next week. So, this week, you know, they'll give you the answers they have. But as far as Mike Coffee is concerned with Another Woodshop Podcast, this is my last show.
No.
As a host of the show.
Thank you.
So I'll be back as a guest for sure. But as it is, we are dissolving our partnership and everything. It's, what is the raccoon gif? The raccoon holding the cotton candy in its hand.
We're joking around. It's such a loose partnership. It dissolves in water.
It dissolves in water, yeah. We just had to throw some water on our partnership and it dissolved. No,
but we had to hire a lawyer for $3,000 to dissolve it in water for us. Yeah, it's just the law.
Yeah, what's up with that? That's bogus.
By the way, I'm going to comment on the part about the podcast. The podcast is not going anywhere. We're going to keep doing it, and we're going to keep bringing in guests. And if a third host naturally falls into place, and you know the banter is there and everything, and we're gonna bring them in. But right now, it's just the two of us, and we're going to continue it. So nothing's changing. It's business as usual.
You should make that the intro. Just the two of us. We can make it. That'd be so good.
Write that
but
down.
Have Tomas sing it. Have Tomas sing it.
We can probably get rights to that for like $20. Come on, let's be real.
That's no, just have Tomas write it. Just to be like, so good.
But I want the whole thing on an accordion.
Yes, that's even better.
Tomah, next week, accordion, please.
The finger kazoo, is that what they call the accordion? The finger? No, that's not right. That can't be right. I just made that up.
You're thinking of finger traps.
Ah, right.
You're thinking of a bagpipe.
Oriental variety.
Always out. Oh, no. They're always outwitting me.
Is that
Chinese
word
finger
not allowed?
Traps. It is sure isn't. Not.
Okay.
Not as of 1987. No, well,
we haven't heard here in Nebraska yet.
You guys will get it in a few weeks. No, Dan and Pete will talk about that, but the show is going to keep going. That's the main crux. The most important thing to take out of this is that the show is going to keep going, and Dan and Pete will keep that going. So
Pete and I have nothing else in our lives, so it has to keep going.
That's the
crux.
That's
I have some bad news for you, Dan.
Oh. So it'll be only.
No, I just have other stuff going on. Only Dan's podcast. But it's going to be multiple cameras. Like one's going to be him.
Really
one's
going to
be his speech. And one's going to be the dog.
It's going to be like the Eddie Murphy movie. And Dan's just wearing different costumes. It's like Dr. Doolittle.
You mean like any Madea movie?
Yeah, a Madea movie? Madonna? No, it doesn't work. Anyway, it's not good.
Anyways, speaking of Madea, what's going on in your life, Mike?
I was like, Madea? This is the bad pivot. Got it.
I'm just going to miss these.
It's good. Yeah. That's how you do it. When you're podcasting, you just say things and then string them together and people go, oh, okay.
Mike, you shouldn't roll your eyes so hard. It's going to hurt
your
eyes.
Yeah, I'll detach my retinas. You literally can't have that. Our company insurance can't afford that again.
Yeah, one time, Dan stopped his toe, almost bankrupted us.
No, like we're one Taco Bell double decker away from going bankrupt over here.
We're like five McChickens away from insolvency or whatever. No, my week's been really busy. I got a lathe. Shocker. Man, I've wanted a lathe for years. I kind of knew that I would really like it. And man, I love it. It is so peaceful. I really enjoyed turning on the lathe. It's so nice. I made a
bowl. You had a lot of lathe content this week.
Who did?
You did.
I mean, I just did a post. But yeah, I mean, it's like what? I mean, talking about.
I thought there was more. I'm sorry.
I mean, I've done stories.
Stories about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but like, it's fun. It's like really nice. I'm like enjoying it. Like the other stuff, I don't know if people want to see us making like a million cabinets or whatever, but yeah, it's super enjoyable. Like, it's really peaceful. Sean's been helping me learn it. We're going to do a video on that. It's going to be a YouTube video on Sean teaching me how to turn, because he's been turning for like 25 years. So he's good.
He's been going in circles.
Yes. He's got he's like
nonstop. Make a left turn.
No. Yeah. No.
That explains why he's so dizzy all the time.
Yeah. They call him Dizzy Sean. behind the Kmart, you know? So yeah, I got the lathe. That's super fun. Really, really dialing in this CNC. It's crazy how fast this thing is. We're doing a bunch of stuff for an events company. My main events company client. We're going through. It's crazy. I had to get an emergency delivery of like 20 sheets of plywood today, and we cut through all of it in 2 hours. It's so nuts.
Did you just cut it all in half?
Yeah, we just ran one line rip. We just wanted to see if we could do it. No. We had to cut out all these parts.
Because like,
all these parts.
Don't want to flex, but I could do that too.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, on a table size, like unnecessary line rips. Yeah, we used a 3/4-inch bit, like the massivest kerf ever. but we were just cutting out parts. Anyway, we're having fun with that. Building a receptionist desk right now. This thing's huge. It's like a U shape, and it's 10 feet long on the front. And then it turns at a 90 and it's 8 feet long. And then it turns at a 90 and it's 8 feet long again. So it's 26 lineal feet.
How is it shaped like Dan? You said it's U shaped. Were you talking to him or me? Okay. It's a Dan shaped desk.
That sounds Polish to me.
It's, this one's interesting. We have to match a specific aesthetic, which is not, it's all 3/4-inch maple ply. And it's
pre-finished or?
Yeah. No, we're finishing it now. Actually, I'm taking tomorrow off, so Sean's going to have to finish it up. But it's all 3/4-inch ply. We had to get really creative, or I had to get really, really creative with the design, because the place is a glass-blowing company. Like, you can come there, and it's not, like, pipes or anything like that. They actually, like, blow, like, vases and different things for around the house. But you can go there,
vases.
And you choose your color.
Vase.
It's a vase.
Vase.
What color vase would you like, sir? Come behind the counter. They're a local company that's starting up, and I'm really excited. I love working with local businesses. So, but they have this aesthetic they're trying to hit, because we're going to be doing, after this in like a month or so, we're doing like a 20 foot wide by 35 foot tall built in, and it has to be engineered. It's huge. Crap. Anyway, it's pretty rad. That's so it's gonna be a cool project. So, yeah, it's huge.
According to my math,
it's
that's
mostly
pretty
cubbies.
Large.
It's just mostly cubbies, essentially. So they can. So the glass. I'm learning this. This is the glass comes in rods that they melt down to turn into different shapes. So it has each cubby is going to hold all these different colors. They carry 300 and something colors.
Rod cubbies.
Like rod cubbies.
Show title
sounds like my ex's name. no, Rod Cubbies sounds like a terrible car salesman. Hey, I'm Rod Cubbies. How can I get you into a Kia? No, anyways,
no one drives Kias.
So just doing a bunch of built-ins right now. And we got like a bunch of dining tables lined up right now, on the schedule. We've got, I had that American Giant did that, article on Coffee Custom Builds, and I ended up getting a ton of work from that. So, it's busy. There's like 9 dining tables booked out of that. We have multiple coffee tables, end tables, nightstands. No real crazy furniture, just kind of mostly tables. There's a dresser. I wanted to do something kind of crazy. All of it's pretty much basically just mid-century modern tables and stuff. So, but it's fun. We like doing that stuff. It's in our wheelhouse for sure. So, Oh, I did a floating media console, but I think I talked about that last week. But yeah, we're just crushing through that. I mean, the most exciting thing for me right now is the is definitely the lathe, just because it really is something for Mike. And it's not like a business thing.
You've been talking about that for years.
I know.
So I'm glad you finally got it.
I'm so glad I got one. It's sick.
I've always wanted a lathe. One of these days.
you know, Harvey sent that out, which was nice of him. So really excited about that. What else? Oh, YouTube's going bonkers right now. We've grown the channel like 5,000 subs in the last 3 weeks or something like that. So we're excited about that. With the video, we're missing our schedule this week. We were supposed to release a video on Sunday, but we actually have to film Sunday. This desk build is probably going to be like a 40-minute long video. But it's going to be a sick desk. My desk is going to be so sick. It's going to be such a sick build. We go deep dive into a lot of stuff. So,
have you thought about doing a 2-part video?
I think for retention, it's a bad idea because we couldn't figure out how to keep the retention good with breaking it up. I just don't think that it would get served up well. I think what we ended up doing is we've kind of been doing some research, and it looks like trying to keep it around or just under 32 minutes is kind of the sweet spot. Like, YouTube wants you to make long videos because they want you to keep people on the platform for a long time. So we're trying to keep it fast. Like, it's really fast, really concise. But there is a lot of information in there. So it's going quick. It's a real quick hitter, and we're making it. Well, anyway, we want it to be a long one because we have coming after this one, we have three that are probably like 15-minute videos, and they're quick hitters. So this one's going to be, we're trying to fit it in with being like a really long build project and then three tool talk videos or like a shop talk type of videos and then a long build video. So like the hidden cost of CNC video, that one's cranking up. That's our first video over 30,000 views. So that one's probably going to hit 40,000 this week or next week, not this week, but it's doing well either way. So those tool talk videos have been like our best performing videos. So anyway, really super excited about YouTube. And that's really what I've got going on right now. I can't think of what else I got. Did a sign. Went to an 80s party last weekend. That was fun. That's kind of it. Yeah.
The 80s party.
What'd you wear?
Yeah, it was... So I was trying to go as Miami Vice, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to
Mike Johnson, to Goodwill. Don Johnson,
yeah. Johnson. No, I went to Goodwill and I picked out that and then like a contingency outfit, but I got home and the
contingent like outfit
just past my nipples. Like, it was so short. Like, I didn't want to try it on at Goodwill. I mean, I don't want to be like a jerk, but like, I didn't
want to. Did you wear like one of those half cut mesh shirts?
No, I should have. I ended up wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt with a sports coat and like some acid wash jeans or something like that. It was a solid 80s outfit. But anyway, Dan, what about you, man?
Dan.
Well, my week has been very, very boring. Like I said last week, we were going to go camping. So we went camping the day after Memorial Day. I didn't work at all this past weekend. I didn't work Memorial Day. We left for camping on Tuesday, and we got back just today, this afternoon. And then I just kind of like laid around, and now I'm here. one of the big things that happened to me this week, though, which is really tough, and it was a really tough thing to do, I had to call Isaiah and tell him that, you know, I can't support him anymore. I couldn't have him on my team. So
it sucks, man.
My shop isn't doing quite as well as Mike's, so I had to make some tough decisions, and
it sucks, man. It's really one of the hardest things. It's like we talked about, it's one of the driving, it's scary, it's the worst thing I've had to deal with as a business. As you know, you just had to do it, and it I like sucks. Do all my decision making is behind not having that happen ever again.
Yeah,
like
it sucks.
I'm like, it's just hard.
It's it makes you feel like a dirt bag. But, you know, you gotta look out for number one. Unfortunately, you gotta look out for
the business has to
yourself and your business and your family. So I can't continue to pump money into something that's not bringing a value. Well, Let me rephrase that. It was bringing a value, but I couldn't.
Enough value to justify it. Yeah,
I couldn't justify it anymore because I wasn't making enough money. So it sucked. So yeah. That was my week. I've been commiserating in that like all week, and I probably should get off my butt and start working, which I'll probably do tomorrow. So that's it for my week. Sorry for the downer message, but
no,
Pete.
No, like, man, that's a big thing. That's a real thing to happen. That's tough, man. That's super hard. That really is really hard stuff. That sucks.
Sounds like John.
Etsy sales have just been summer. I don't know what's going on. I've been talking to a few other guys, and Etsy sales are just like way down. I don't understand what's going on.
I've changed nothing. Do you want to talk about it a little bit? Can I ask you some questions? I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah, please talk. Or would you rather not? Ask.
I know you were getting like between like around 75 orders a week before when it was at the heyday.
Yeah, they're
right?
Down to like 30 right now.
Ooh, that is rough. Ooh. That's a huge
it's,
cut.
It's like a, what is that, a 50%?
Roughly.
Almost.
Yeah, more.
It's 50% dip.
It's a rough hit, you know?
Yeah, that's hard.
And
it's super hard.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry, Dan. That's tough, man.
No, it's fine. What's up with you? It's fine. You just got to find a way to dig out of it.
Listen, hey, talk forward. There's off seasons for everyone. It happens, you know? You got to toss it to me, Dan.
I already did.
Oh, and did I did, too.
Okay. Oh, I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
You got to catch it, Pete.
Oh, I fumbled it. I didn't realize. I was looking at it away.
Where are your mitts?
In Poland. Hey, you his keep mitts. My mitts out of here. So this week I kind of, well, first of all, let's start with last weekend. So we were throwing a Memorial Day party / Emma's retirement party, where she invited all of the kids, the older kids that she teaches, at the dance school, all the faculty and parents. And we had a guest list of about 60 to 70 people coming. Like that confirmed, which was very scary for like having a grill and whatnot for that group of people. So I spent.
What'd you cook?
Smoked some chicken, pork tenderloin, and then I grilled up a ton of burgers, hot dogs, and Italian sausage. And
I
smoker
love,
was the big winner.
You I'm smoked going, chicken?
I smoked the chicken and I smoked the pork tenderloin. Smoked nice. Chicken, get it to $165. It is the best chicken you'll ever have.
I just got I literally just got an email from Etsy that they've deactivated a bunch of my listings because they think they're associated with drug paraphernalia.
What?
They're all zero clearance inserts. Yep.
What?
Well, just fight it. Just
sorry,
fight.
Go on.
No, you got. Yeah,
I was
going to
say,
Dan,
Pete, on. So this is going to go into barbecue talk. I love chicken. I've been eating way less and less red meat because red meat makes me feel just really terrible these days. So I've been eating more chicken, but I've always never been like real happy with it. It always feels like a little chewy, you know?
Mike, no, Mike.
Dude,
Mike.
No, check this out. I've been tenderizing it. I was never tenderizing it. I got a tenderizer, tenderize the chicken, dude. Amazing. But I have smoked a chicken. Like, did you buy a whole chicken?
No. I get a
what'd you do?
Bag.
Tell me.
So I go to Costco. I get the organic chicken breast. For this party, I got the non-organic, you know, whatever. But not chicken breast. Chicken thighs. Stay
thighs,
away from breast.
Yeah.
Breast,
yeah. Yeah. Thighs are where all the flavors at.
Exactly.
I'm a thigh
ladies.
Man.
So chicken thighs, and you can do a little adobo, whatever. Like, just whatever you like. Just throw it on a smoker. Literally, one side starts, you know, changing color. Flip it over. Get it to 165. Take it off. Even 170 is fine. Like, you're still going to be good. It is the juiciest chicken ever. I literally had people
just put whatever flavor. I'll do fajita. How long does it take?
I put it at about 275, 300. I put it about 300, and it takes about 35 to 45 minutes, depending on how thick the cuts are.
That's nice.
Super fast. It's really, really quick. Like, okay. We do it once a week, and it's literally chicken for the whole week. It's incredible. It's going to be so good. Trust me. Because like just the smoker, you know how the smoker is. You just cook to temperature and everything comes out perfect. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So anyways, that was a huge hit. Everyone had a great time. We were looking around.
I don't know why I haven't smoked like the chicken. That's such a great idea. I got to start doing that. That's great.
Thighs. I get the tenderloins and stuff from something from Costco.
Yeah.
Just marinate them a little bit for a night. And then throw them on there too. Same thing. Get it up.
Have
to,
you had the Traeger fajita mix on chicken, dude?
I have not.
Pick it up as soon as you, dude. Okay. It's so good. I've been all about it. I've been making tacos like three
recently.
Nights a week
we were not an adobo household because we were Polish, so we grew up with the vegeta, which if you know what that is, it's just like a if you're ever in a Polish store or European store, it's just a veggie, dried veggies and some seasonings. And it's amazing on food. So I grew up with that stuff, but I've been trying adobo. Great stuff. So I've been adding that in. And I know people are going to shake their heads, be like, how did you not know about it? But enough barbecue talk. Aside from the barbecue. Sorry. No, it's all good. Because Dan's falling asleep with the barbecue talk. Aside from that, it was just a lot of prep. So I modified some stuff on our deck. We took down this like old pergola we had, and I ended up putting some posts up, and we set up these sun sails that I bought, these giant triangular 20 by 20 sun sails. And I got two of them to make a square. Best decision ever. These things are awesome. It costs like $80 on Amazon. If you want the link, message me. I'll hook you up. And it just shades the entire deck. It gave us so much room to like spread out on there. And we kind of continued the games out. And also, the winner of the entire party was this stupid axe throwing game that I got at Costco. It same thing, all Costco stuff. Everyone was messaging me. We didn't have it at Sam's Club or Amazon or whatever, but this axe throwing game is so ridiculously fun. It's just plastic and it like wedges in there, but it's super dope. If you have a Costco membership, go check it out and definitely pick one up because it's worth it. Enough about that event, but so it was a Memorial Day party, but also like Emma's retirement party. I've been kind of being coy about announcing that she's leaving because some of the dads do woodworking at the studio. So they follow me, which was a big hit when they came over and saw the shop. They loved it. So I couldn't outright say that like Emma is retiring from teaching and going to do her thing and my thing full time. So she is officially doing that. That was her retirement party. We've been doing a lot of prep the last couple of weeks to just like, as soon as she's free, what our schedules are going to be like. So we're going to actually work out some daily schedules and be like, wake up, you know, breakfast, whatever. And then like 3 hours of work, then office admin time, and then do packing orders or whatever. We're going to try to actually structure our days a little bit so that we have some consistency and stay on top of our tasks instead of just getting distracted. Aside from that, we have a vendor event, that is on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be outdoors. It was supposed to rain all weekend. It's no longer going to rain. And tomorrow is going to be 91 degrees. And then Saturday it's going to be 75.
95 here. Oh, what?
Yeah, like pivot. Dip. That's why we thought it was going to rain and it just stopped. So it says it's not going to rain. But if it was going to be that hot, I would have been just miserable the whole time. But we're prepping for the vendor event. Luckily, last time I had a vendor event, I overmade stuff. I made just way too many items. So this time I kind of just organized, prepped, did a couple of extra things that we're running low on, and got all that ready. So we're kind of ready to go for this weekend, which is really cool. Nice. And we're going to see what's going to sell. And aside from that, just I kind of have been dealing with burnout because I don't know, just this week after Memorial Day and everything, all the prep last week, I was just like, I don't want to do anything. So it's been a little tough with trying to get stuff ready for the vendor event, but I'm kind of getting more energy now, and I'm hoping to, you know, starting this weekend, punch the business in the face and get some things going. That's it. That's kind of been my week. It's just been a lot of all over the place stuff, but we're excited for bringing Emma on full time in about 2 weeks. It's going to be fun. That's going to be so great. So that's it. That's my what's on the bench.
That's awesome. Sounds like
it's a bench.
It's a real bench talk. Dan, did you get everything figured out with Etsy?
Nope. I'll figure it out later.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get it. It's going to be fine. It's not drug paraphernalia. Did someone report you? Does it say that?
I don't know, but if it's because somebody's reporting me, they're dirtbags.
That is super lame.
Damn it, Adam Barnett. Why would you do that?
It'll get resolved. Obviously, it's not drug paraphernalia. Yeah. That makes no sense. That's a stupid thing.
Beats me.
It's not that.
Wait, are all of those using a description you had ChatGPT, right?
Uh-uh.
Okay, just checking. I don't know if it was like these wooden things that are so luxurious are quite addicting or something like that.
No, it says we're in the process of reviewing your listings, but in the meantime, we deactivated it. Etsy prohibits drug paraphernalia, including but not limited to. And then it has all these lists. And it's like, really?
There's so many people selling like CNC'd out trays for rolling joints. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Ugh.
It'll get fixed, Dan. It's going to be all right.
Just call him not black person inserts.
It's the last thing I want to see right now after I literally just got talking about how my Etsy sales are
for
down,
sure. The timing is not great.
I had to get rid of my helper. Like, just smack me with a stick while I'm on my back, for God's sakes.
I can smack you with some questions.
No, please do. Get my mind off this. Smack me real hard with questions, please.
Mike, that's
speaking of questions and being smacked, here's Kamani.
Hey, guys. When I heard there was a big announcement this episode, I thought, finally, I've seen the writing on the wall for a long time coming, and I'm just glad that you finally come to terms with everything and with how things are going, and, you know, the truth is coming out. So I just wanted to say, Mike, I'm very proud of you for admitting that half your beard is actually fake, and it came from the Eric Curtis beard line of clip-ons. So,
the clip-on beard line.
It's very brave of you to finally admit that. And, you know, I look forward to seeing your real face at some point. Now, as for my question,
I look like Timothy Chalamet.
It's in relation to content or product. I know a lot of people get offered like free tools for like, you know, maybe a reel or a story post and stuff. But when we get into the bigger, you know, $1,000 priced item and they have asks for, you know, more things like, you know, a YouTube video or a longer reel, like what's the price point between like doing something in exchange for content or, you know, knowing what your breaking point is, like it's just not worth it. You know, is there a price point to it or is it amount of the requirements of what they want? Like, so, you know, stuff like that. Thanks.
That's Mike, a great question.
I'd love to hear your input on that.
I think that everyone has a different number.
For sure.
I think even people with the same reach have different numbers because there's a lot of people do talk, but I don't think a lot of people really, I don't think it's talked about openly. Like there's not a menu of pricing, right? So, and I'm not going to tell you the pricing that I have or what that dollar amount is, but I will say that if you just slap out a crappy YouTube video, then it's, probably can't charge that much. But if you have a lot of production that goes into your YouTube videos and you spend a lot of time on them and you break down that time, like Peter and I are filming this desk video. I was just telling the guys we're filming this desk video. We're 5 days of filming into this. And, you know, if I was charging for that, it'd be over $7,000 or something like that. So, you know, that's just straight time, you know, if I was charging to build something. So it all depends, I guess, on what your time is worth. And for me, time is the most valuable thing I have, which is unfortunately why this is my last episode on the podcast. And you have to factor in these things and what is, it's also the same decision Dan had to make this last week with his guy, you know? So you just have to make decisions as to where the, not even, I don't want to say the value, the word value. And I know Dan wasn't wanting to say that either, but where the investment is. The investment has to be decided. You have to decide where the investment is. Yeah, much better. Because his value doesn't change. His value is the same and he's not bringing less or more. It's the investment that the company can afford to make in that situation. And for exactly. me, I have to decide what my decision is to make an investment. I will not name the brand, but I was in negotiation with the brand to do a full build project. They actually came to me. And I was going with another brand already, but they came to me and I had never used their product. So I actually was like, I'm going to pivot and use this brand's product. I didn't have anything locked down with the other client or the other customer. I'm sorry, the other brand. So I didn't betray anyone. We didn't have anything locked up, but I wanted to try this other product because it's been in my peripheral and I've been wanting to use it. So they wanted a YouTube video. They wanted a Instagram post and they wanted content of the build to keep for themselves to use for their own uses internally. So they wanted me to make content for them that I get nothing out of, which is expensive. If I'm making content for them that I don't get to post or get views off of or see any sort of growth or anything, that's the most expensive content I will make. So I hit them with the price tag, and I won't say what that was, but it was for a YouTube video. I'm expensive. I'm not as expensive as some people, but for a YouTube video, it's expensive. For Instagram, it's a fair rate for my size channel and what that is. But we're talking, you know, more than $7,000. You know, we're talking a lot of money. And this company makes a product that isn't a very expensive product. I mean, it's a high-end product, but it's not a tool. It's a product that gets used in building. And they said, no, we just can't justify that. And they can't make the investment. So it kind of goes both ways. So it didn't work out for me to work with them because the amount of money I would need to make off the project wasn't aligned with their budget. And at that point, it's just business. You know, obviously, it's easy for me to be like, well, it didn't work out, move on to the next thing. It's obviously a different thing when it's someone you're related to or have a good relationship, like it is with Dan and his guy, with Isaiah. And it was how it was with me. And when I had it, I mean, it's when you have these relationships, that's where the element makes it harder. So with brands, this is a very long answer. I'm sorry, but with brands, you need to try to, what I'm trying to get to is you need to try to not get emotionally attached to the deal working out is what I'm getting to. Mm. And you need to figure out what your value is immediate. As soon as you can know what your value is and what your time is worth to make the content that they want, you need to figure that out. You need to hold your ground and not let them try to talk you down into it. Because I gave them my number and they're like, this is way too much money for us. What if we just sent you some stuff? I'm like, so you want me to do it for less? And they're like, no, you'll just use it in the video. I'm like, well, so you want me to promote your product in my video, but not get paid, just get, so no, I'm not, I'm straight up not gonna do it for that. Like the total value of the product they were gonna send me was maybe $800. And
it's a lot of contour gauges. Yes.
Well, I was going to put them in a big like form and then pull epoxy and I was going to do zero clearance inserts. No.
Zero clearance but, epoxy.
But I was
going to
make them all shaped like bongs.
Live edge contour gauges.
Sorry, Dan, too soon. Live edge contour gauges. only one side works and it's not the one you want.
I mean,
want.
At least it's not crazy like putting pocket holes in epoxy and then casting it.
That's stupid.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who'd ever do that?
And then you'd CNC what, like a bow tie out of it? That's bonkers.
Weird.
We're laughing. Pre-show.
Anyways, my point is every time I've done a video for product, I'm like, oh man, I got screwed. I should have just bought the product. So it's just not worth it. Like, it's just not worth doing. Like, you need to get the product and the money. That's the bottom line, because the product is something they are going to give out if they want to people to make content on it. For you to make content for them that brings value, you need to. There needs to be a value assigned to that. So, now when you start getting to tools that are like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, then you start going, okay, well, this does bring a value to my shop and my business if you have one, or even if it's not a business, it's a hobby, the tool still brings a value to your hobby because you don't have to pay for that. So if it's offsetting the cost of like $6,000 tool, then yeah, you probably should just make a video for them, I guess. I mean, if that's what you do as a hobby, it's probably worth doing, you know? So I know it's kind of a non-answer, but my point is more like know your worth in all things. Yep. And know what the investment is going to cost you, because making a video for YouTube is not easy. A good one, at least. You can slap out one where you just set your phone up and you're just talking into your phone and knock it out. But it's a high value piece of content. Anyway, Dan.
Absolutely, 100% know your worth. But I will add, sometimes you need to get your foot in the door. And if that is where you're at in life or in your quote-unquote journey, maybe it's okay to take the tool and build from there. Build a relationship from there. Because that's what these relationships need. They need to be built upon. So let's say you get a contour gauge from a contour gauge.
Festool contour gauge.
Right. And you get their product for free and you show it off and it does well for everybody and everybody's happy. Maybe the next time you up your game a little bit. You say, okay, I'd like contour gauge version 2.0, but I'd like a little money too, because look at how well it did last time. You know, you kind of build upon that foundation that you've made. So, you know, it really depends on where you're at. You know, maybe you only have 1,000 followers, 5,000 followers. Maybe you don't have a giant followership yet, but you're growing and companies will see that. So it's good to get your foot in the door somewhere. So don't just dismiss that because, you know, you're not going to get thousands of dollars for a reel or a YouTube video or whatever. So, but like Mike said, there's no clear cut answer for this. You really have to just feel it out and just kind of do what feels right to you. But make sure that at the end of the day, what feels right to you, you're not like, you don't feel like you've gotten taken for a ride, right? You're not doing all these videos and all these posts for a pair of indestructible shoes, okay? I think we've all gotten reached out to by the indestructible shoe company. Just like what Mike said, know your worth, but also keep in mind that you may need to be able to get your foot in the door somewhere. It's really a fine balance, and nobody has the right answer.
Yeah, there's no right answer. And also, like, building relationships is the most important thing you can do with a brand. And sometimes that means lowering your price. But you need to get them to commit on some level that there will be more than just this one-off thing.
Yeah.
That's something. Like, if they're like, but if they only offer indestructible shoes, there's no future there. Like, what are they going to do? They're never going to pay you.
I'm using that as a silly example.
No, I know. But my point is that's a good example because that is a brand that will not pay you ever. It's never going to get better. If their shoes are indestructible, you don't need more than one pair. So why would they send you more than one? So, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's a stupid model. So the indestructible shoes and Rock Rooster or whatever, just whatever. Those things are stupid. And I'll say it right now that it's dumb. But you need to understand, like, there are brands out there that will throw the carrot out, see how you respond to that, and then the relationship grows. And could potentially be worth it. Sometimes it isn't, though. Sometimes brands will just screw you over. And it's not just brands, like, within the community. It's just companies, customers. People will screw you over. It happens. Time to be an adult. Deal with it. Move forward. Pete, what do you think?
So, the guys are completely wrong. And here's why.
Oh.
I'm kidding. No, everything they said is correct. What I would say is I'm going to answer this as two different people. Somebody that is sub 25k, kind of like starting out, getting things going, not really like, this isn't my job, I'm just doing it on a side, whatever. Then it's, yes, that's when you're kind of leaning more towards like forming relationships, taking things. A lot of those early on deals for me were things that I would buy anyways, but they were offering for free or heavily discounted for content, and it was like, all right, how much is, like, you know, if they want one YouTube video, and like that's going to be, let's say, 10 hours of my life.
Perfectly honest, Pete, when that first brand reached out to you of something that you would have bought anyway, that felt good, didn't it?
I said yes to almost everything, and now look at I offered two YouTube videos and like two Instagram posts for something for a discount on a tool that added up to be maybe $800, $900. And early on when I was like starting, I was like, yeah, this is great. But then later a similar deal came up and I was like, first of all, there's no way I can do two videos on this tool, like around this tool on YouTube. That's bonkers. Let alone, you know, like three posts or whatever. Like, let's say it's like a dust collector or something, or a planer. Like, you can't just do content around it. And one of the videos is going to be an assembly video or something.
Best planer jig modifications.
So, like, you have to keep that in mind. So, like, as you're getting... So, like, it's okay to say yes to some things that don't seem worth it. It's the same thing about, like, making furniture or cutting boards and it's, like, not worth your hourly rate. Because at that point, you're not really considering your hourly rate yet. But when you get to a higher tier and when you're kind of running this a little more like a business on a side or a full-time business or part-time business, whatever, you got to start looking at that hourly rate. If, let's say, I want a tool and it's $2,000 and a company offers me 50% off for 2 YouTube videos and 2 Instagram posts. It might just be more worth it. It's going to take me, let's say, 20 to 30 hours to shoot the videos, edit them, because I'm not too efficient with it, and I have to do it myself, right? Is 30 hours worth $1,000? Like, can I maybe just pay full price for that tool and then just do 2 videos on something completely different that could potentially bring me in business or another brand or whatever? So, like, start weighing the pros and cons. And I'm going to say the most important thing you can do, and it's the same concept of, like, you're at a job. What do they tell you about your paycheck? You don't talk about your paycheck with your employees. That's BS. Other people. Ask people. There's something you're going to ask me. I'm going to give you terrible advice on pricing because, like, I don't know my pricing. I'm still figuring it out, you know, all these years later. But, like, there's people out there that haven't really figured out. There's people out there that are just, like, putting it all on a table for a brand. And they're like, yeah, this is my price. Suck it up or we're not working together. And it works. So, like, you need to know what's working for people, what's not, and then find a middle ground and go for it. But the most important way you can learn is talk to people and figure it out. Mike talked to other creators and other makers and other YouTubers. Like, he's very involved in that. And then also figured out his personal worth. Because maybe somebody would be like, yeah, you should be charging $1,000. And Mike would look at it and go, it makes no sense for me to do this for any less than 2. And then he'd throw that quote at them and they would say yes. And that's how you learn your value. Like, oh, brands are willing to pay this, you know? So get advice where you can, but it.
Some aren't. Yeah, some aren't willing to pay it. And you just go, and you don't go like, well, they're not willing to pay it, so I'm just going to do it. Don't do that.
No.
Just go buy it. Because yeah. now the value has been, when you do that, you lower your value, yes. Not the value of them. You're devaluing yourself, and don't do that. Don't do it. Because it also starts to devalue everyone around you. It affects market when you do that.
Yep.
If you decide your value and you run with it and you stick to it, it feels a lot better than when you let yourself take a lesser value than what you've determined yourself to be. It hurts way more. And you end up hating the entire process of making content for that situation. You end up like, I hate this video anyway, or this piece of content. It just sucks. You're like, God, why did I do this? I've been there. This next question is from Lars.
Hey guys, this is Lars from Meth City, New York. Just wondering if you ever considered for your companies building separate grades or lines on furniture, kind of like they do with tools. I was thinking something along the lines of my husband built that, for a lower mid grade. And, I haven't thought of any other lines, but just figured I'd, send in a call since it seems like you guys are kind of hurting for that. So thanks.
Solid dig.
Dan.
Lars, thank you for the, low key dig there at the end. I appreciate that. brother, if I could get my original line of furniture to sell, then I could think about getting a second line of lower quality or higher quality furniture to sell.
You can't bring back classic if you're still on classic.
Right? There's no classic if you're still on the original. I don't have a really good quality answer for you, Lars. That was a great question, but I don't know. Pete? Do you know? Do you have answers?
No, I don't really have an answer for this because I have to be more consistent about building furniture to do different lines of furniture. But I do offer different materials or things for the 3D printing side. So that's something like that. But yeah, it's different pricing as well. But I'd love to hear what
I offer like lesser woods for zero clearance inserts and stuff. And
yeah,
it kind of goes up from there. Like I'll offer exotics and that costs more, obviously.
Yeah.
So I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't have it, but this is a really good question because it doesn't need to be necessarily furniture either. I mean, it can be anything that you offer as a product to anyone. Do you offer it in multiple grades? And I think that's a great question. I think technically I do because I would say that my Westview collection, which hasn't taken off by any means. I mean, it hasn't sold anything. It's just I haven't spent the time with the marketing or any of that stuff. But once that gets rolling, that collection, I'm hoping will push enough to do a higher grade of furniture out of that, because that one is designed almost entirely to be produced quickly. I designed it to be quickly produced. It's CNC assisted heavily. All the manual parts are just the mortise and tenon joinery and the glue up and the finish. I mean, the actual fabrication, the cuts, most of that's done on the CNC. So I definitely think it's something to do, and I think it's a smart move. So
I mean, that's basically what I did with the narrow side table that I listed like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, it's all CNC.
You got the C.
Yeah, it's all CNC, and it's super easy to build. And I don't know. Maybe I should add some higher end options to that, I guess.
Good question. Ultralight MDF. I already answered. I said I don't have.
Oh, you did. Shoot, I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah. Material, I guess. That's the only thing I would offer.
That's right. The next question is from Nick Pachi.
Hey, guys. Nick from The Working Grain. Hey, I got a real question this week. Talking about lasers, sorry, Dan. When you are cutting or engraving a new material that you haven't done before, where do you start with your settings for the laser? Lately, I've just been doing some test cuts or test burns. I'm hating burning through material just to test it out first. Is there a good starting point that you guys usually use, or love to know your thoughts? Thanks, guys.
All the way to 11, Nick. I can't believe you even asked.
Pete, why don't you answer this one?
All right. So, Nick, in light burn, there is an option to actually do a material test for either cuts or engraving. What I recommend is find what the manufacturer recommends as like the starting point, and then go up and down from that, or go up from that and see what actually works best for the material.
What do you mean by manufacturer? Like the manufacturer of the material?
The laser. Of the laser.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because like Laguna's on the Laguna EX laser, the one Mike and I have, they actually have recommended settings, and I've tried those settings and they've been fine. But then I would tweak them and run an actual material test. And what it is that grid. We've all seen that grid happen. Paul Jackman was just doing this a couple weeks ago with some plywood or whatever, or MDF that he was cutting, and then some pucks and whatnot. Basically what it does is along one side is power, along the other side is speed, and it does engravings, and it tells you what each set, you see it. You visually see which one looks the best.
So it's like the one you choose. It's like a graph.
It's a graph. It's literally a chart of like darkest to lightest. And with certain materials, if you get your numbers a little too high, you can actually start burning through things towards the end. So keep in mind, like you obviously, if you're trying to do test engraving on leather, you don't need to crank your laser up to 100, maybe test between 10% and 40%, and then speeds, with different numbers as well. So that material test will save you tons of money on material and tons of time. And then you can just cut it out after, like cut it out with a square around it and keep it. So, this type of leather is this, this type of MDF is this. And you can always reference that if you want. And then also you can, in Lightburn, add settings for particular materials and cut power and speeds to your library. And your library is your best friend. Trust me. Mike, do you have anything else to add?
No. Do that for sure.
Yeah.
I was actually going to put an L-shaped shelf in the laser room so we could start putting all those little tests and leave them up there so that Matt and Sean, any of us, whenever we work with a material that isn't on a little block up there, we would make a test so we can all have that as a reference.
That's
so.
Actually really smart.
Yeah. But we established
not that I know, always know lasers.
Mike's smart. He's got his days.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Lasers, huh? Am I right?
Am I right?
This next one's from Tomas. He's from Buenos Aires.
Here comes the French. And I say it's all right.
Hey guys, let's talk about bugs. Tonight I was cutting some planks in my garden to make shelves to store my ball planks outside. And I also store my firewood there. And as I was cutting, I saw some bugs flying around me. And I'm pretty sure they were French Capricorn beetle. Capricorn beetle. I don't know the exact name, but let's say Capricorn beetle. So here's my question. Do you have any strategy you employ to save the wood you store from beetles? All right, thank you. Bye. And I'm not done. I just did a quick Google search, and what I saw was actually a small Capricorn bugs beetle, which is not the same as the one that destroy everything, that is very big, so I'm fine. But the question is still applicable, I think. What do you do for the wood outside against bugs? Thank you, bye.
I will go. I think the best thing is to keep them from being damp. That doesn't help everything, but dampness, the bugs want to go places that are damp. Moist. So that's your most important. You don't want them being moist.
Supple.
That's what supple.
I don't like the word supple more than moist, by the way.
Mm-mm. You don't want your wood to be either moist or supple. It's because what will happen is you'll get bugs. No, if you you really want to keep them stacked and stickered and not close to a building, covered, out of UV, there's a bunch of things you need to do. But the big problem is water. It attracts bugs. They use it to stay alive, the moisture. And it causes fungus and mold and different things to grow. So you get insects that way. So there's obviously effective treatments for that. There are... like Raid, like bug killers. There's Boracare, which is for killing boring beetles that bore into woods.
They're just boring.
The beetles are so boring. Oh my god! Like,
they have like news podcasts and stuff.
Hot take: the Beatles are the worst band ever. Go on.
The Beatles suck. Anyways,
here comes.
Yes. The
sun. Oh, I get it now. He played a Beatles song
to keep out the Beatles. Oh, that's what it was. Okay,
it took you that long.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it just hit me.
It's kind of just okay. Here comes the sun. Anyways.
That's one horny sun.
Oh my god. What the hell, Pete? All right, Dan, it's your turn. Pete just ruined the internet.
So. Yeah, bottom line, keep your wood dry. That's the best way to keep bugs out of your wood, like Mike said. Bugs only want wood that is moist. Because it grows fungus and it grows other things and it harbors other like life forms, and that's how they feed. But I keep all my wood, all my lumber in my shop up on a rack, and I know it is dry because it doesn't rain in my shop and there's no leakage. So that's what I do.
Although it is definitely not climate controlled with the garage doors open 24/7.
I mean, it's climate controlled ish. Anyway, Pete, give me your
climate-controlled light. Well,
I agree with both of the guys. One, I'm going to give you one tip that I learned from Vic from the Stump Shop, because he works with stumps, the grossest of woods. They dry for the longest time outside.
Speaking of lower-grade furniture.
hey, he puts legs on that elevates the furniture. You be nice to Victor. But one trick I learned from him is anytime he brings a stump in or wood that's been sitting outside, he brings it in and he puts down on the ground tape upside down. And then the next morning he comes out and there's tons of bugs and stuff stuck in the tape. If that wasn't the fact, those bugs would be going into all the lumber that he has in the house and God knows what else. So that's one way to keep the bugs out. I used that trick when I was epoxying my floor in a garage, because I couldn't close the garage door because it would sit on the epoxy. So I actually put upside down tape in front of the garages, and I caught so many bugs that would have gotten in and stuck in the epoxy. So if you're painting your floors, also a great tip, but upside down tape or double stick tape or something like that could be a great choice for keeping bugs out.
I
yield my time to the gentleman in Nebraska.
Thank you very much.
I'm done.
Dan already had time.
I'm good. I don't know why I yielded to me. That's weird.
I didn't. I just yielded.
Oh, I yielded for you to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan actually yielded to himself.
This is awkward.
Stop yielding.
It was
at
a
me.
Proxy situation. Yielding at me.
Speaking of proxy, is that our last question? First of all. I think it is.
That's it.
Speaking of proxy, have you guys watched Mrs. Davis on Peacock?
No, someone recommended.
It's actually a really good show.
It was on. No, it's on Apple Plus.
And if you watch it, you'll understand my segue from Proxy. But if you don't, I'm not going to explain it to you.
If I had to watch a show every time I needed to understand something Dan said, wouldn't have time
for
anything.
You would need a lot of time.
A lot of time.
You'd watch a lot of Alf.
I have an Alf t-shirt. I love Alf.
I am not shocked. This is my shock.
I will go get it right now.
I've been watching.
No, please don't.
I've been watching Ted Lasso.
Oh.
That show is so great.
I'm a grown man. I am tough. I am resilient. But damn, does that show make me want to cry?
That's a really good show.
It feel good. Oh, it makes you.
I canceled my Apple TV. I can't watch it.
Well, if you're not a poor,
I have too many streaming services. There, I got rid of cable literally 8 years ago because it was too much money, and we've always streamed since then. We've cut the cord, but now like it seems like I'm spending more money with all these different damn streaming services. Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, Paramount Plus, HBO Max.
Mike, I love how Apple Plus. Like ripping on us for the Apple Plus, but then he has like, hey, did you guys watch Miss Davis on Paramount Plus?
Peacock, idiot.
Peacock, whatever. Ugh, the one that no one has.
That's a good one. That's where The Office is. That's the only reason I pay for
they
it.
They move every 2 years. They'll be on Netflix in another year.
Nope. I need to watch Office.
Nope, Netflix. Gross.
Yeah,
I need to get rid of Netflix. Why are we talking about this? Anyway, this is my last episode.
It's your last line. Years, guys.
We were trying to drag it out, Mike. Don't go.
Oh, really?
Oh.
It's been a hell of a ride. It's been a hell of a 3 years. Man,
it's been hell.
We built a pretty cool thing.
Of a ride.
It's been hell. For 3 years, this has been nothing but hell. No.
No, Mike, it's been fun. We both love you.
We built a thing.
We built a thing.
We built a thing.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And we made so many shop sounds.
Well, guys. Yeah. We played so many shop sounds.
We've talked about wood. And, you know, we thought the craft will never die. But at the end of the day.
But here we are. Kicking a corpse. Yeah.
No, it's been fun.
I wish I had a cricket sound.
We're gonna miss you, Mikey. Wait. We love you.
No, that's not the one I thought it was.
No. Can we get a very last final? There's one sound that you are never gonna play again because it would be weird for Dan and I to play it. And it's your son.
I mean, you guys can play that one.
No, we can't. It'd be weird.
It's owned by
the thing is, I can't edit that in because it doesn't. It's not the same format. I've tried it.
It's fine. It was.
I'll just record my voice saying it.
Saying, "Ow, my nips!
Ow, my nips!"
The good old days.
There it is. Got it.
That is just as good. Dan doing it is just as good.
Ow, comma my nips.
That was a perfect pitch. That was pitch perfect.
Ouch. My nipples.
What a weird way to do this. Well,
what a weird April 1st building. Joke. See you around the building. See you at the water cooler at Maker Camp.
See you guys. See you later, Masticator.
That's how you want to end this? Is this how you want to end things?
I don't know how to end this. I've been racking my brain with how to end it.
I was hoping for tears.
The answer
I'm going to be honest.
Oh.
I really don't want to cry on the podcast.
Be a man.
Be a man and cry.
Be a man. Rip out a handful of pubes.
Oh, when you said that, I felt that. Like, we've all felt that pain.
Yeah, it brings a tingle for
ripping
sure.
out a handful of pubes. You've felt that?
You've never sat wrong on something?
A handful, though?
Not a handful, but
a handful?
One or two is bad enough. Dan.
A bushel.
A bushel.
A bushel of pubes.
Bushel.
Well, there's the show title right there, folks. My bushel of pubes.
Show title?
A Stanley number four of pubes. Mike's like,
office.
Oh, man. That's how I trim. Who needs manscaping when I have a Stanley number 4?
And with that measurement, I guess. With that.
Yeah, and with that, we're out of here. That's how you trim like a man.
Riff song Stanley number
4. And a spoke shave. A spoke shave. And those, you know, those clips, you know, to like hold your, to dry your clothes. That's how you hold.
You're mimicking right now, like
clothesline clips. What are those things?
Clothesline clips. Yeah.
No, they have a name.
Does anyone know the name?
What are the names of them? I can't think of it.
I think you're just.
They're not clothesline clips. They're something else.
Why? No, I feel like there's. It doesn't have a word.
There's a word.
Do you know what the end of a shoelace is called? An aglet.
Not
clothespins.
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 Yeah. Man. Wow. I bet your listeners were on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, you use the clothespins to suspend everything it needs to be, and then you just get in there with a spoke shave.
I wonder how many people are going, clothespins! Clothespins, you idiot!
Next week's,
what are those pins you use to hold up clothes?
Well, because we're all thinking it had like a weird name. It was like a rattan. It's a rattan.
Yeah. A flugeldorf?
A flugeldorf. Wait, rattan's an actual thing.
All right.
All right. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I love you both.
Mike, it's likewise. Been a business doing
can't
pleasure
wait to see
with
you. Guys do
with the show. Yeah. What pizza?
We did sell a lot of pleasure to people.
We did sell a lot of pleasure. Top
and
tier
we
pleasure.
Will continue to sell more, me and Pete.
Oh, Pete we're going to sell yeah, so Pete, much free
Dan
pleasure.
And Peter selling the,
it's going to, we're not going to rename the show, God, so but it's going to be like another Woodshop podcast /DP at night. He doesn't know about this yet, but. Anyway. It's okay. Been fun.
Highly concerned, but it's your problem, not mine. So have a great time.
Well, Mike, why don't you send us out with a love y'all bye or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Check everyone out. Everyone check out the guys and check out the channel. Check us all out on the Instagrams and the YouTubes and the Pinterest and the Etsy's and go unreport Dan's zero clearance bong inserts. That's what you should make. Bong inserts.
Oh, that is amazing.
That'd be so good. No, anyway, but seriously, go give these guys some love. Check out the show next week. I'm sure it's going to have a lot of information about the forward motion of another Woodshop podcast, sans Mike Coffee. So I'm interested to hear and see what they do with it.
Dan, what kind of finish are you using on those inserts? Is it a high gloss? High gloss? High?
Oh, man.
No? Okay.
Oh, there it is. Oof. There's the problem.
That's why you stopped the outro? Was for the high gloss joke?
I mean, is there
my
more
tearful a more going perfect, away?
To be perfectly way. Honest, it's semi-gloss. That's not as fun.
That's not as
fun. I regret everything.
It's a satin.
It's
everything's bad.
All right, well, Satan finish.
Bye. I don't want to... I was going to say see you next week, but I won't. These guys will see you next week. I won't talk to
you. We'll see
you
all next week.
I'll talk to you another time.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
See you in the future. Bye now.
Bye.
Love you long time.
Bye.
You don't get it. There is a darkness inside of me. It wants to get out, wants to walk around. It wants some walking around money, and it wants to buy some shoes, and it wants to walk up with the people and say, hey, Gator, don't play no shit. You feel me? Gator never been about that. Never been about playing no shit.